Take just a minute. Psalm 34, verse number 16. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Keep that in mind. To cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Those that try to do evil, he is not for us. He doesn't want evil people to be remembered well. Notice 17. The righteous cry. Those people that try to do what's right. And the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. 18. The Lord is nigh to them that have a broken heart. And saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Now, a broken heart is not the kind of thing you think of. Oh, I got a Dear John letter. So-and-so doesn't love me anymore. That's not the broken heart he's talking about. He's talking about a broken heart over sin, evil, and righteousness. He's talking about, notice, a contrite heart that yields itself to the Lord. It is broken over what it has done. It is broken over its position. And so I want you to notice the spirit we exhibit is of critical importance, the kind of spirit we exhibit to the Lord. Notice our spirit's important in the eyes of other people, your spirit, the cheerfulness that you have. A broken heart, it does allow cheerfulness if we feel like everything's right between us and the Lord. The broken heart happens in private with the Lord. Then when we get up off our knees, everything is good. And we can have a joyful heart. Now, I want you to notice, we can fake a contrite spirit. Matthew 23:5, the Pharisees did. And the Lord saw right through them and said, do what they say, but not what they do. So the Lord sees our spirit, even though other people, he sees the heart that we have. Everybody can see our spirit, but the heart that we have is what the Lord's looking at. He's looking at the brokenness of our heart, the constant watching for evil in our hearts. And all of us have that. We have to be careful. All of us do. It's the constant watching. The Lord doesn't want us to be sad people. He wants us to be joyful people. The joy of the Lord is your strength, but our heart needs to always be broken over sin. Always be broken anytime we step out of line with the Lord. Our goal is to walk right all the time and have this joyful heart. But the second we step out of line, we immediately want to listen to the Holy Spirit and humble ourselves quickly. Now, let me give you some things that are indicative of a contrite spirit. Now, Hebrew word here for contrite is literally crushed to powder. In other words, there is no small part now that's not yielded to the Lord. That's what it means. If, ladies, you're crushing up various things to go in a meal, you don't want something that somebody bites down on to be a chunk. And the Lord doesn't want that with us. He doesn't want it to be something that makes you say, oh, something's not right with this. How many have ever been eating fish and all of a sudden you got a bone? And all of a sudden, how many have been doing that? And you notice, oh, what is that? Or you've been eating hamburger. Maybe you've been eating chili and a piece of bone is ground up in it. You know what I'm talking about? And you get, oh, what is that? And you have to spit it out. Well, this word means there's nothing that brings distaste to the Lord. Everything is powder. It's perfect. It's a contrite spirit toward the Lord. Oh, now notice, if we today, we could be cheerful and happy this morning. If the Lord were in this room, we would want things to be right with him. It would be like what happened with John in Revelation chapter 1. John was in the spirit on the Lord's day. He is there fellowshipping with the Lord. It's the Lord's day. He's all by himself. Now, it doesn't say where he is. I picture him on the Isle of Patmos, maybe down near the beach. It's a Sunday morning. It's a Monday morning. We would say our Sunday. It is the first day of the week, and he is fellowshipping, enjoying the Lord, not a Saturday. He is, all of a sudden, he hears a voice behind him. He turns around, looks at the Lord, and he falls on his face because he sees the holiness of the Lord. compares it to himself, and his heart is crushed to powder. And the Lord walks over and says, stand up. Don't be afraid. That attitude is what we must have. An attitude of respect. An attitude of admiration. That goes in a contrite heart. That's part of the reason why, we want our children in this place where we meet with the Lord maybe to have a little more decorum. This is the Lord's house right here. And maybe in the lobby and other places, we want them to be cheerful. But in here, we don't want them running around, jumping on the pulpit. There's a sacredness about this place. Well, that's what we have in our hearts. It's a sacredness toward the Lord that there's no bone chip in our heart of sin. It doesn't mean we're sad, but when we're with the Lord, there's going to be a soberness. And then we're going to be singing. There's going to be rejoicing. Time and a place for everything. But the presence of the Lord brings a contrite heart, a heart that is in tune with the Lord. Now, notice with you, number one, should be here. Let me give you these items. We can tell if our spirit is contrite. Number one, if we are ashamed of sin. In other words, we look at something we did and go, and we immediately go to the Lord and say, Lord, I am so sorry. Will you forgive me? And then the Lord brings peace. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We get up and walk on. And we have the joy of the Lord in our heart because we're looking to stay contrite. We're looking to keep all of our flesh crushed into little pieces. That's what we're trying to do so that we can be rightly related with the Lord. And so it allows us to feel comfortable to come to the altar and pray. We're not worried about what somebody else says, or to kneel down at our seat, or to kneel down at our bed. We're not worried about what somebody else says because we're contrite, we're rightly related with the Lord. We're concerned about what he thinks. Every fleshly ingredient, pride, I don't want people to think something. This altar is a place to meet the Lord. We have people from time to time come in this building and say, can I pray at your altar? There is something here that just cries out, Lord, come meet with me. It was in the tabernacle. It was an offering of a lamb. This week, I had my granddaughter wrote me a note. And she said, Papa, some of my classmates and I were talking, and it came up, where did Jesus go when he died on the cross? Oh, we're not sure. And so there was a contriteness in their hearts. They wanted to know the truth about the Lord, where the Lord went. They were concerned about what happened to him, where he went. I appreciated that. And so, we went through it. He's in paradise, and then he emptied paradise and took it to heaven, and then hell enlarged itself. And you remember in Luke 16, there's a great gulf fixed and Abraham's bosom and hell where the rich man looked up and said, in hell he lifted up his eyes. So they got the answer. They were very comforted. That's wonderful. Just what I wanted to know. But they had a concern for the Lord and what happened to him. And we should have a concern. Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, is everything right in my heart? And that's what a contrite heart is. So the second it makes our marriages better. Because the second you say something to your wife or to your husband and the Holy Spirit touches your heart, that still small voice, if you've got a contrite heart, there's no bone chip that's there of pride and says, well, she deserved it. Well, he deserved it. Well, I don't want to apologize right now. I'll just give them the silent treatment for a while. None of that exists if we have a contrite heart because we're crushed before the Lord. There's an absence of sin that's not ashamed to us. Do you realize that every sin would cause us to be ashamed? You understand that? All of it. If you picture Peter, now he's walked with the Lord for 3 years, but he denies him 3 times. And the Bible says in Luke, Jesus and his eyes catch. And what does he do? Can anybody tell me? What does he do? What? He went and wept, ashamed of his sin. That's number one. That's what we should be. Now, then he got up. Okay, now number two, we should be humble before God. When we're contrite, number one, it's an ashamedness over sin. Any sin, you see him, and it's just, oh, I'm ashamed. But there's a humility, and that would be Revelation 1 when John was walking with the Lord, and he was excited about meeting with the Lord. He was in the Spirit, the Bible says, and all of a sudden the Lord appeared, and he falls on his face, and the Lord says, stand up. But he showed humility. There should be a humbleness in our heart, all of us, that we acknowledge the greatness of our God. There is no chip of arrogance in our heart. There's no chip of wrong priority. He is first, but I got other things I got to do. It should be that we just humble ourselves before the Lord. That's what makes devotion sweet, when you humble yourself. Everything's right between you and the Lord, but you humble yourself. this third one is, we are embarrassed before God when we know we have any pride in our hearts. There's a certain embarrassment that comes with contrition when we know something's not right. How could I have done that? Anybody ever felt like that? How could I have done that? How could I have said that? We're embarrassed. There's an ashamedness, but there's an embarrassment over what I did. How could I have done that? We're embarrassed over those things. Contrition has that part also. If you recall Shimei, does anybody know who Shimei was? Anybody know who Shimei was? Anybody? Shimei. He was one of Saul's relatives that was jealous over the fact that David was the king. And he had been that way for a long time. When David was being run out of the city by his son Absalom, he stood on the other side of the valley and threw rocks at David and cursed at David and said, you've stolen the kingdom from my family and from me. And I mean, he was just going on and on and on. Well, when David comes back in, he's the first one to meet him. And he said, how could I have done that, O King David? I'm embarrassed about what I did. I want you to forgive me. Now, he was not genuine, because you'll find out that later on he died for his sin. But at the time he was embarrassed. Just, I embarrassed myself in front of those people. What was I thinking? And so we do the same thing. So a contrite heart brings embarrassment over sin. Now, if our heart is contrite and everything is crushed into powder and there's no flesh in us, then there's a joy. There is a closeness with the Lord. Then notice, if you would, Matthew 6. I want you to see this. This is the fruit of a heart that is contrite. Notice, if you would, the opposite of what the Pharisees were. Notice Matthew 6. And you'll notice this. In verse number 2, he says, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not send a trumpet before thee. They're not embarrassed by their actions, but nobody else would do that. The widow's mite, she walked up and quietly put her small amount in, but it was a humble offering. And so notice, if you would, verse 6, but when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. In other words, there is a closeness that you get alone with the Lord and you feel comfortable talking with him. You feel comfortable. And you know he'll hear. Notice what he says in verse 6. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So he is trying to get you to understand, I hear you. And notice the next one. And this is kind of a funny thing. I say funny, it's a sad funny when I think of it. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do. The heathen, in their pride, are trying to impress God with their contrition, with their humility. God already knows if we're humble or not. And notice what he says, for they think that they should be heard for their much speaking. And notice in verse 8, be not therefore like unto them, for your Father, there's a connection between you and the Lord. There's a relationship. Knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. I mean, how many of you mothers, how many of you know what your children like and don't like as far as a meal? How many of you like know what they like and don't like? Okay. Somebody tell me, let's see here. Somebody tell me what one thing your children do not like. Somebody name it. Just name me one. Right here. Brussels sprouts. Now, I like Brussels sprouts when they're cooked right. How many of you? Something else. Something else. Real quick. Yes, ma'am.
Liver.
Those people aren't saved, I don't think. I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure. Okay, back in the back. Somebody else, real quick. Anybody else? Okay, Robin? Peas. Okay. Let's see here. Emily, do you fix peas for your boys?
One likes them, the other one doesn't.
Okay, one likes them, one doesn't. All right? Now, the Lord already knows what you like. And sometimes he gives us what we don't like for our good. How many of you have ever done that? Let me see your hand. Have you ever given your boys peas and said to the other one, you got to eat it? Janet, did you ever give your boys liver and have them eat it? Okay, all right. How about Brussels sprouts? Okay. Why do you do that? You're just trying to make their lives miserable? No. You're trying to teach them to be grateful when they sit down and somebody has a meal there that they can eat it without embarrassing themselves. Okay? Well, the Lord sometimes allows things to us to make us stronger, more usable for him. Okay? He says, the Lord knows what you have need of before you even ask, just like your parents. If I fix Brussels sprouts, I know they're not going to like it. Okay, but we're going to have ice cream afterwards, or we're going to have chocolate cake afterwards. The Lord is the exact same way with us. And so he says, I know what you need. But, you know, sometimes we just want to hear our children ask for something. It just makes us feel good. So we can be good to them. And our Heavenly Father is no different. But we want them to ask the proper way. And God says, with a humble heart, a contrite heart. So this contrite heart is important for all of us. Now, let me give you the last one. We feel like we desperately need him. When there's a real need in our heart, contrition does that. Lord, I can't do this on my own. You know, I feel like that. I feel like I've bothered the Lord so much in the last several years over the buildings, over various things here in the ministry. Lord, could you please do this? And I'm asking the Lord, could you please help us to close in April? Lord, would you? Now, if you don't want us to, that's fine. But Lord, I sure would like to have the ball fields done for the kids in the spring, in the fall. Lord, I sure would like to have not construction going on the north side. I'd just like to, Lord, could you please help us? There is a need. I can't do it. Contrition allows you to ask humbly and not feel bad about it. A lot of times we ask, but there's a little bit of a pride there. And if you don't want to do it, that's fine. I mean, but with the Lord, it's always a contrite heart. Look over in Psalm 34. Notice, if you would, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken heart. He's close to us. He wants to hear us. And then notice this one. Now, let me give you some of the spirit of contrition brings many sweet results. Number one, we can only be saved with a contrite heart. If you remember Luke 18, I believe that's right. Luke 18, 13. It's got the righteous man and the poor man that come to the altar and they pray. And the righteous man said, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like him. I tithe and I go to church and I read my Bible. Lord, all those good things. And And, you know, I just want you to know I love you. And here's the poor man over here. And he said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve anything, Lord. I'm just sorry. I'm asking. That's the only way you can be saved, number one. Contrite spirit. You got nothing to offer the Lord. Number two, we can experience revival. We can be in a state, consistent revival. In other words, close to the Lord. If you have your Bible, turn to Isaiah 57. I want you to see this. Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57. Listen to this. For thus saith the high and holy one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him that also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So the Lord is saying, look, you, I want you to be with me. So he elevates our spirit and our soul right into his presence, even though we're physically here, if we have a humble spirit, if we have a contrite spirit. If there's not one shred of bone chip of pride or bone chip of, and that's why if the Holy Spirit touches your heart, you come to this altar and pray and don't worry about what anybody else thinks. If there's something that's a burden on your heart, you've been praying about it personally, let the Lord know. It's real important to me, Lord. I don't come to the altar very much, but Lord, I'm asking you now. We learn that he brings us right into his presence, puts his protective arm around us. Notice number three, God's word speaks to us in ways we never thought before. Look at Isaiah, if you would, 66. Just flip over a couple of pages near the last chapter in the book. Notice Isaiah 66, 2. For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look. This is the man, I'll look at him, catch his eye, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. We are wanting to know his word. There's a trembling in our hearts toward his word. Then he'll speak to us. And that's what he says here. He said, but this man, while I look, I'll look right at him and give him the needs that he has. I'll answer his prayer. And then notice this, he can never refuse us if we have a contrite heart. Look, if you would, in Psalm 51. Psalm 51 won't take but a minute, but I want you to see this. Psalm 51. Look, if you would, in verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Now remember, broken spirit is not the Lord has done something and you know, to just break your spirit, broken your heart over something. And when I say in a bad way, you lost a loved one or you lost your job or whatever. Well, notice he says, a broken and contrite heart over God, oh God, thou wilt not despise. It is a contrite heart over sin. It is that crushed nature in our spirit, in our hope, in our heart that God looks for. He doesn't want a bone chip of pride, a bone chip of God, you got to listen to me because I did this the other day for you. Lord, I tithe like that man in Luke 18. That doesn't impress God. He doesn't need one thing from us except a contrite heart. And he loves that. And then not only does it come to meet us, he elevates us to meet him. Notice, and then the last thing, we can enjoy a closeness to the Lord in our original passage. Notice with me, if you would, Psalm 38. Notice in verse number, Psalm 37, if you would, Psalm 34. Look, if you would, verse number 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and of a contrite spirit. So the Lord snuggles up close to us. He's there for us. Hebrews 13:5, you know, he specifically says, you know, I'll never leave you nor forsake you as long as you have that contrite heart. There's absence of pride, an absence of I can do something for you. It's the presence of humility and brokenness. Lord, I need you. I can do nothing myself. Lord, you've given me talents and abilities, but they don't work unless you energize them. So I close with this. How many of you have got power windows in your car? Raise your hand. Okay. My mother-in-law, former mother-in-law, was a lady that did not like electric windows. Does anybody know why? Because when they first came out, sometimes they worked and sometimes they didn't. They broke. And if they ever broke when your window was down, what do you do? She was scared to death of that. So for years, she'd buy a really nice car. And I said, why do you do that? And she says, because it might break. Now listen very carefully. Your connection to the Lord for your power windows in your heart and life could break, but you can fix it. Lord, I'm sorry. And you push the button, it comes right up again. I mean, the Lord wants to bless you with good things. Now, I'll tell you this. That yellow truck that Michaela drives, that Mike and Michaela drive, that yellow truck was such a blessing to me 20 years ago when I got it. You know why? Because it's got power windows. Now, maybe nothing else in the truck works, but the power windows work. And so what was a blessing to me was if somebody came on the other side to lean over the truck and try to wind that, boy, that hurt my neck after that surgery. I'd have to slide all the way over and get right there and then crank it. Oh, it was so much trouble. I said, Lord, if I could just get a truck with power windows, Lord, it would be such a blessing. And so when this yellow truck came up, and I know I've had people come and say, why did you buy a yellow truck? Boop, and the window went up and down. That was one of the reasons. Had power windows. Now, the Lord gives you and I gifts and abilities. Some of you can sing. You ought to be in the choir. Some of you can teach. You ought to be teaching. Some of you can do X, Y, and Z. I've been amazed at the new building. Then people showed up and says, I can pull cable. I can. Now, almost anybody can, but some people know what to do. And I can put on the ends, and I have no idea how to do that. I could probably learn, but I'd have to really pay attention and take a while. And, so the Lord says, I've given you abilities, but they don't work unless I energize them. How many of you have ever heard someone sing, their heart was so in it, they just almost couldn't finish a song? It break down, but it still spoke to your heart. How many know what I'm talking about? Okay. That's what the Lord does with your gifts. He energizes them. So you may say, I did a terrible job. He says, no, you didn't. You did great. And it spoke to people's hearts. Contrite heart speaks for the Lord. Don't let one bone chip of pride enter your heart. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you today for you allowing us and helping us to be contrite. I pray that you'd forgive all of us, dear Lord. Help us to surrender ourselves to you in humility, knowing no gift we have. Our brains, our physical abilities make a difference for you unless you energize them. And bless this service to follow, dear Lord, that you would be pleased. In your name we pray. Amen.